Hi, and welcome to the Sales Enablement Pro podcast. I am Shauna Simawang. Sales enablement is a constantly evolving space, and we're here to help professionals stay up to date on the latest trends and best practices so they can be more effective in their jobs. Joining us today is Christopher Kingman, the Director of International Enablement for TransUnion. Chris has an extensive sales enablement background in training and mentoring, increasing seller efficiency, and problem solving to increase sales productivity. So Chris, I would like to better understand, what has been your most impactful sales enablement initiative to date and why?
Sure. So when I was in the US part of TransUnion, I created a program to address a very common sales problem. And so most sales organizations, as they grow, they take their best seller and what do? They promote them to sales leader, right? But as we kind of learn, and as a lot of people know, is those jobs are very different, right? The skills that make you great at sales aren't necessarily the skills that make you a great leader. And just because you're great at selling doesn't mean you'll be a great leader and vice versa, right? I absolutely bombed in sales, but I tend to think that I'm an okay sales leader because the jobs are different. The elements are different. The skill sets are different. And so I designed this program, a 16-week program that really went from sort of these fundamental concepts, right? Like right out of a MBA program business book, down to the very tactical, this is the report that you'll receive on Tuesday. Here's how to interpret it. Here's how to use it. Everything in between. And it focused a lot on, you know, coaching and developing and understanding your teams and your people, which I think is one of the most common things that's overlooked about being a sales leader is your job is to ensure that your people are successful. Like, that's it. You know, you're not selling, you're not closing, you're not doing anything. You need to know how to get the best out of your people. And I really focused this program on that and took them through coaching and made them coach and made them shadow and made them lead meetings and talked about, you know, presentation skills and negotiation skills and pricing and contracting and all of these things. The feedback was excellent, right? And all these guys were great, but like seven of the nine that went through it before I left that program got promoted. That's huge for me. Yeah. And so I was just really proud of that because I think it really made an impact on a lot of these guys. And I had one seller who was all about him. I don't understand why my people can't do this. They need to listen to me. I'm their boss too. I totally get it now. They're my boss. I work for them. And it was a really great feeling. Like personally, I felt like it was a really great achievement for me, to just have that impact on people. Because I like developing leaders. I think if that was like the one enablement piece that I could focus on and do, that's what I would do is just, you know, create a sales enablement leader factory somewhere and just churn out leaders. That's what, you know.
This is very cool.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know, when you go through sort of all of the disciplines and stuff and kind of built all these little things that I built, that was the one thing I really loved doing. So it was just really rewarding for me. And the second thing I did was, so we've got, you know, Salesforce and every little business unit within TU has their own little instance. And the one I came from had two CRMs and a proprietary intermediate platform that talked back and forth. And I was able to make a lot of improvements from the Salesforce that we got to when I left, you know, chipping away at the fields, taking away functionalities, and then international as well, sort of just because it was it was really like, here's the US instance translated to Spanish. You have Salesforce, good luck. And I've been able to really, really impact sort of the usage and adoption. The data hygiene as well. This is just absolute mess. And get people to understand, like, this tool is not just for your bosses to see. This tool is for you. This is a success tool for you. Here's how to prioritize your day. Here's how to figure out who to call first. Here's how to keep track of your opportunities. Here's how to figure out, you know, how much money do you want to make? Great. Here's how to figure out how to do that by a win rate, by your close rate, like all of these different things, to the point where I laid out a strategic planner middle of last year that says, here's how we're going to consolidate 6 international regions down to 1. Here's how we're going to migrate the UK over to Dynamics and Salesforce to Salesforce. And then here's how we're going to migrate everybody over to Lightning. And just laid out the strategic path because as much as involved as I am with technology and I write about technology actually, you know, you asked me what's been up. I actually write for Nancy Narden now as well on tech. I really hate clunky technology. It drives me insane. And so I'm motivated by that. Well, I would never want to use this, so I got to make it better for somebody else. I would never want to be a seller whose CRM is so out of date and so clunky that it's just, it eats into their job. And so I was proud of what I've been able to do outside of my own, like I'm not an admin, I can't do it, but what I've been able to do with the teams, the regions, et cetera.
That's awesome. Yes. And some organizations, Salesforce can be extremely clunky. So that is impressive. Yeah. What are some of the fun initiatives that you have coming up for the coming year?
So like I mentioned, I just inherited the UK team. So they weren't really aligned to any sort of mission statement or charter. Not one person had any real clear idea what they did. You know, I mean, somebody had this one piece and then everybody was just kind of reacting to what I called responsibility roulette, where they'd spin a wheel and be like, oh, we need a renewals program. Well, I guess it's your turn, you know? So I sat them all down and had a nice list of like everything that they did. And I said like, what do you want to do? You know, what about your job do you like? What sucks? Where do you want your career to go? Because I want to align what you're doing and what we're going to invest in you to kind of get you into the direction that you're going. And so that's been my immediate focus, is just getting this team stood up. And it's a great proof of concept, because internationally, I don't have a lot of enablement resources. I have sales ops resources that are really focused on reporting outputs and stuff like that. But training and development wise, I have nothing. You know, sales tech wise, I have nothing. QA doesn't exist. So this is a good proof of concept to say, listen, if we invest in this, or if we invest in this, this is what you'll probably be able to get out of it. So pouring my time into that is good. The other thing is finalizing this inside sales instance here. So straightened out, they've got two different sales roles, the appointment setter role. Then they have, you know, your typical account executive, and then a hybrid of a sales support role and a customer service or account manager role. So working on, I developed a 3-year plan of how to grow the team to about 60 people by the end of 2021, how to bifurcate the hybrid account manager sales support role, 16-week development program around role clarity for the account managers so they can decide if they want to be support or they want to be an account manager, which I think is something I've never seen before, is teaching people how to sell before asking them if they want to sell. you know, most people just kind of fall into it and they're like, oh, it's sales, I could do this. And then they get steamrolled, right? Certainly what happened to me. I thought I could do sales and I failed miserably at it. What else? And then doing role clarity around sort of account executives, and then a very aggressive sales skills training roadmap, because I think a lot of organizations just assume you can sell, which is interesting, right? Because you don't just, nowhere else do you just show up and not continually develop your skills. You know, football players don't just go to the Super Bowl. They actually have to play games and practice. So why do we assume salespeople don't need practice? Or rehashing of their skills. So all of that focus going through, and then, like I said, sort of this international redesign of Salesforce, I think is key, just because I want to consolidate reporting. I want clean reporting. I don't want to have seven teams of business analysts across the globe try to come up with numbers and all this stuff. Those are all the things that I'm focusing on, at least here. And then outside of TU, working with vendor neutral. So I ghostwrite for vendor neutral about sales tech, buying sales tech, since I've sort of have an interesting skill set. I've gone through the entire buying process multiple times. And then now with Nancy Narden, sort of doing write-ups on sales technologies and benefits of that stuff as well.
Very cool. On that note, the closing question is just really, what resources would you recommend for other sales enablement practitioners where they can learn, or maybe it's a particular resource that you found helpful along your journey?
So there are some pretty good books. Corey Bray, and there's another author I can never remember his name. They wrote the Sales Enablement Playbook. it's very introductory, but it's great, right? Because it gives you the foundational stuff. I don't think there's no like series 7 for sales enablement people, right? Like take this test and guess what? You know, there's no universal sales enablement code. Like there's accounting codes, right? It's kind of, you kind of do what your business needs and align to these things. So his book is great. And it's written for people that are just getting their feet wet. The book by Tamara Shank and Byron, I forgot Byron's last name. That one's good too. It's a little bit more advanced, I would say. Probably has a little bit more applicability to larger organizations than the solo act, right? Or the person who is sales enablement and probably does 10 other things. That stuff's great. Joining Sales Enablement Society would be beneficial. Attending some of the seminars are good. The Sales Enablement Soiree, I would say, is something that people should attend, especially since Dreamforce itself is having more and more enablement content and breakouts. It's a no-brainer if you're in that area, right? It's very rare to get immersed in so many people, like-minded people, and people who are, you know, everyone in the room is like, I thought I was the only one who had to put up with all this crap, right? Because that's definitely my reaction for the first several conferences I went to. And then reading sort of the white papers, right? Mary Shea obviously loves writing about this stuff. Reading the white papers on enablement is good. And getting on LinkedIn, searching it is always great. You know, it's hit or miss with the content, but it's good enough. You guys, I think you guys put out a couple of those little, I don't know if they unfold or whatever, but sort of the introductory to sales enablement and sales readiness, those guides are good. I mean, I brought it over here, just left it on somebody's desk. I'm like, read this before I get back. So stuff like that, you know, we all laugh and it's like, oh, that's whatever. But to some people that's like, here we go, blueprint, I'm good. You know, I'm getting that sales incentive trip, I don't, or whatever they qualify for. Stuff like that goes a long way. Stuff like that I really wish I had when I was trying to figure this out, or figuring out what I could go do. Because my default is go find a problem, go fix it, right? Fix a problem, spin it off, have somebody go demonstrate why fixing this problem matters, have somebody go run it for you, you know, and then build that function out to where we know it's making an impact and then go fix another problem. So anything like that would help people really figure out what's wrong with their organization, or not even what's wrong, but you know, here's how I can go make it better.
Thanks for listening. For more insights, tips, and expertise from sales enablement leaders, visit salesenablement.pro. If there's something you'd like to share or a topic you want to know more about, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.